You know, sometimes you're just not good enough. Sometimes you're going to miss. Sometimes you're going to lose. But Josh Heupel is going to continue to win at Tennessee because he will recruit at the level that's desired. That, a whole lot more coming up on your Wednesday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is your Wednesday edition of Locked On Vols with Eric Kane, your host. Appreciate you guys being here today, following along at Locked On Vols on social media at _Kaner, subscribing to Locked On Vols on the YouTube channel and wherever you find your audio podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever that is. Can't thank you enough. This episode is brought to you in part by Bird Dogs. All right, go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege, and when you enter promo code LOCKEDONCOLLEGE, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with every single order. Big thanks to proud sponsors of the show. We got a fun show coming up today. We're going to talk a little recruiting here in segment one. Ward Wednesday, been a minute. He's coming up in segment two. And then we're going to get into this discussion about Southern Miss outbidding, not really outbidding, that's poor choice of words, or picking up the host for Super Regionals, beating out Knoxville. Tennessee will be on the road heading to Hattiesburg for Super Regional play, and I've got some thoughts on that because this guy's going to be in a car for 8 hours driving to the middle of flipping nowhere. So all that coming up here on a Wednesday show. Monday, it wasn't the easiest day for, you know, Tennessee, and if you are, you know, following along with Tennessee recruiting, and there's going to be some days like that. It just is what it is. But, you know, as the day went on, Tennessee got worse and worse news. You had a wide receiver, J.J. Harrell. It was kind of the last domino to kind of drop. He went ahead and decommitted from the University of Tennessee. He had been committed for quite some time, dating back to the fall. He is an on-300 athlete. He is, you know, top 300, one of the top players in his position, a highly rated four-star wide receiver, and he wanted to be a part of this offense. He wanted to be a part of Josh Heupel's system and all that type of stuff, so he jumped in the boat a little early. And that's kind of what he said when he decommitted on Monday night. He said, hey, you know, I think I rushed the process. I want to open things up. Tennessee will still recruit him, don't get me wrong, but you knew that one was going to be a battle kind of from the get-go, right? And so that happened at the end of the day, kind of somewhere towards the middle of the day. You had a highly talented four-star defensive lineman, edge player, Kamarion Fountain, who committed to USC over Tennessee. Now, he had scheduled to come in officially, and he may still come in officially, you know, towards the season and all that. So, you know, anytime up until these guys sign the dotted lines, when they sign their national letter of intent, it's not over. You know, verbal commitments, truly, they don't really mean anything nowadays. I can promise you that. And so Tennessee will still, recruit guys like Kamarion Fountain. But, you know, according to the On3 industry rankings, a four-star prospect, number 146 in the country, seventh edge and 25th player from the state of Georgia. And we know, as we were talking on yesterday's show, that the state of Georgia is just filled with prospects. And so Kamarion Fountain committed to USC. And then you had Sammy Brown, five-star linebacker. He was on his official visit over Memorial Day weekend for Tennessee. And the talk had been, you know, Tennessee's behind. You know, Tennessee is, it's still a long shot for Tennessee, but they're probably number two behind Georgia at this point in time, with Clemson coming in third. And then Sammy Brown goes to Clemson, and he has a good weekend. And we kind of get word of it, and it sounds like it's trending. He's going to make a decision to make a call, you know, on Monday. And that's eventually what happened. I got to tell you this, man. I was leaving Clemson, South Carolina. You know, I was hosting that, covering that regional, you know, for Tennessee over at Clemson. And it was like 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, 7:45, and I was driving out of Clemson. So I was listening to local sports talk radio, and they're talking about how, you know, he's going to commit today, yada, yada. He's going to commit today, jump in the boat, and how it's a done deal and all this stuff. And I knew that essentially it was going to be a done deal, but it just kind of, it's mind-blowing to me how Dabo does that, right? He convinces these guys and these kids essentially that they're not going to have a spot. And I don't know if this is the case for Sammy or not. And, you know, every kid can make their own decision and go over they want to play football, and that's completely fine. But you continue to look at how Dabo Swinney recruits. Once you commit to Clemson, he doesn't let you take official visits anywhere else. He doesn't utilize the entire month of June. That was their big official visit weekend, and then they're pretty much going to shut it down for the rest of the month of June. And the class is pretty much done outside of a couple here and there. I don't know how Dabo does it. It's wild to me. Deshaun Watson, if you're watching the Tennessee-Clemson baseball game on Saturday night, they showed Deshaun Watson in the stadium coming back to speak on the culture at Clemson, which is hilarious to me because of who Deshaun Watson is. And lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. Oh, wait, there's another lawsuit. Hilarious to me. I'm so glad that he sucks in the NFL right now because he deserves it. But anyway, I'm not here to talk about Deshaun Watson or anything like that. Bottom line is, you know, it was a bad day for Tennessee. Sammy Brown commits to Clemson, J.J. Harrell decommits, and Kamarion Fountain commits to USC. You're going to have days like that. That's recruiting. And sure, does Tennessee need to close out some more of these prospects? Have they missed a couple in recent classes since Josh Heupel's been here? Sure, you have missed. You needed to get another offensive tackle in that four that you really liked for the class of 23. No doubt about it. You need to get a premier offensive tackle or an offensive lineman in this class, for sure. You're taking a lot of talented players, a lot of project players, but you need a blue chipper. There's no doubt about that. You need to get a playmaker. You know, you had Nico, and you brought in, you know, Cam Seldon and Nathan Leacock, who I think is going to be really good, and some other talent on that offensive side of the football, but you need to go out and get a blue chipper. And, you know, J.J. Harrell could possibly be that, but you know that Ryan Wingo's that. You know that Mike Matthews that. You know that Amari Jefferson's that. And Amari Jefferson put out his top six the other day. No surprise Tennessee's in there. Of course, you knew it would be. My point is, you're going to have days like that. That's recruiting. No ifs, ands, buts about it. That is just recruiting, 100%. And so I understand the frustrations. I get all that. Now, you know, Tennessee falls following that decommitment. Tennessee was in the top 10 according to the On3 2024 industry rankings. Tennessee's now at number 13 with a total of 11 commits for the class of 2024. And they're still, you know, recruiting from an elite pool of players right now. They've got a whole lot of talent that's come into the campus. I mentioned a couple of them on yesterday's show, but I'm going to go through a couple more, kind of looking at least who, you know, should be, you know, have at least said that they're going to be in town or hinted that they're going to try to be, you know, coming into town, you know, over the next couple weekends. June 16th, Williams Winery, you know, five-star defensive lineman, really, really nice player. Kamarion Franklin, another defensive lineman, June 16th, planning on being at Tennessee. Daniel Calhoun, it's one of those offensive tackles I'm talking about, June 16th potentially. Jeremiah McClellan is a good player. Edwin Spillman, who Nate Spillman's a part of Tennessee's football team right now. So I don't think he likes the fact that everybody just assumes that he's going to the University of Tennessee. But Edwin Spillman's going to be in for his official visit in a couple weeks. That's huge. Marquise Easley, offensive tackle, one that Tennessee really, really likes. Running back Jarrett Gibson, long shot in my opinion. But he'll be in town for an official visit here in a couple weeks. And then last weekend, the last weekend for the University of Tennessee in terms of official visits, Mike Matthews, five-star wide receiver that is Tennessee's in a really, really good position with. Bryant Wesco, another wide receiver that Tennessee likes an awful lot. Elijah Rushing, Peyton Lewis, running back, you know, for the University of that Tennessee is going to host, that doesn't really, you know, work out well for me. And that's when Kamarion Fountain was supposed to come in for his official. So we'll see if he pushes that back to the season. We'll see if he ends up coming at all. But that's when Fountain was planning on coming and taking his official visit for the University of Tennessee. Amari Jefferson will be in that weekend. Tylan Singleton, the talented linebacker, is going to be in that weekend. And the offensive lineman, William Satterfield, as well. So, Tennessee, again, with the quality of prospects that they're recruiting right now, I feel like Boo Carter's another one that's going to be here soon. I feel like Tennessee's going to close the deal on some of these guys. So days like Monday, they hurt, and you don't want to make a habit out of that. But let's be completely blunt here. You were never getting Sammy Brown, and you knew that. And you knew for a long time that you might be losing J.J. Harrell. And I think you would welcome J.J. Harrell back in this class with open arms. Don't get me wrong. He's a talented player, and you hate to see him go. But if you're able to replace him with a Mike Matthews, with a Ryan Wingo, with an Amari Jefferson, nothing lost. Okay, that's no big deal at all. So we'll see if Tennessee can close that. But I've seen a lot of frustrations. I get it. End of the day, that's recruiting. And when you're recruiting the type of players like you're recruiting right now, that's going to happen. the charges, can Tennessee close on some of those guys? And we're going to find out this summer. Can't wait to see what that kind of looks like. Hey, when we come back, a little Ward Wednesday is going to join us. Josh Ward right here on Locked On Vols. So can't wait for that. And that is coming up next right here on the other side. Want to tell you about Bird Dogs, a proud sponsor of our show. Bird Dogs, they make you look so good. They have stretch khaki shorts designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. Oh yeah, Bird Dog shorts do the exact same thing as Lululemon, but fit way better. They fit better than regular shorts and are made of stiff, restricting cotton. All right, Bird Dogs fixed the issue by inventing a cloud knit fabric that looks just like khaki, but it stretches so you can get away from slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. Bird Dogs uses anti-stink sweat wick fabric and keeps you cool all day long. So it's clothing that feels good, looks good, and it's really, really affordable as well. It's something that you can put yourself into this summer, and it's great in pretty much any occasion. You can go to a meeting about this. You can wear them around the house with these Bird Dogs, these pants, these shorts, whatever the case may be. You can go on a date with them, whatever, you know, whatever place and time and period you're doing at the time, Bird Dogs has got you covered. Go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege. Enter the promo code lockedoncollege for a free Yeti style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/lockedoncollege for a free Yeti style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off. We promise you that. All right, it's been a minute. It's been a couple weeks vacationing for me and traveling for baseball. And then Josh Ward, the summer months, he's been on vacation. But we're going to get Josh Ward in here for some Ward Wednesday. If you're new to the show, Josh Ward once upon a time hosted this show. And now he hosts, he's always been hosting over at 99.1 The Sports Animal. But co-host of Josh and Swain with VFL Jason Swain, 12 to 3. Every single weekday on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Josh, what's going on, man?
Eric, for the listeners who listened while I did the show and tried to forget that I did the show, they probably don't appreciate those bad memories coming back. But it's great to be back with you.
A lot going on for Tennessee right now. Let's start with football. It wasn't a great day earlier this week on Monday. Sammy Brown, coveted five-star linebacker, commits to Clemson. That was always a long shot, always a long shot. You had J.J. Harrell, a wide receiver that decommits from the University of Tennessee. Kamarion Fountain, another prize target, is transferring elsewhere to USC. Again, those were big-time Tennessee targets, and you wanted to hang on to Harrell as long as you could, but you knew that one was going to be a fight. There's been a lot of people that's kind of been upset with recruiting, but I just feel like this is another day in recruiting, right? You're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days.
Yeah, not one that would be on the positive side, for sure. But I do think Tennessee's in a positive position with so many prospects that Tennessee is targeting, highly touted prospects. An example of why I don't think it's that big of a deal right now, at wide receiver, J.J. Harrell. We had had an idea over the last few weeks, the way that he had been sharing different thoughts on social media, that, okay, well, this is at least going to be a fight here. He could decommit. But Tennessee is in on so many highly touted wide receivers, and the offense itself is one that I'm going to trust they're going to do well at that position, that I think Tennessee will be fine. Now, that still needs to play out. If I'm wrong and these other wide receivers that Tennessee appears to be in a good position with end up going elsewhere, well, then if they also don't get J.J. Harrell back, then it could become problematic, because as much as I trust the system that Josh Heupel is running, they still want the best players possible, so recruiting there matters. And at linebacker and on the defensive side, they need to get more players. I think that they will. At no point did I think Tennessee will sign Sammy Brown at linebacker, for example. A positive could be that he's not going to Georgia, who you're going to play more often than you'll play Clemson. So it could be worse. It wasn't the best 24-hour stretch or whatever it would be for Tennessee on the recruiting trail. But overall, Tennessee is in a good position coming out of that Memorial Day weekend.
Tennessee basketball got a surprising uplift last week. I forgot what day it was, but Josiah Jordan James, who is going to come back, he's going to walk on, and he is going to play for Tennessee for this next upcoming season, taking advantage of that COVID year. He tested the NBA draft waters, went to the NBA G League camp, all that type of stuff. Ultimately felt like it was best to come back and play college basketball one more year. Tennessee, that had finalized its roster, just got that much better. And, you know, we're not huge believers in way too early rankings, but Tennessee jumped up to number 5 in ESPN's way too early top 25 following that addition. What can you say about this deep roster right now?
Josiah coming back is major news, and I was honestly stunned. And yeah. I don't think too often Tennessee news comes out that just stuns me. That one did, because I thought he had just planned to move on and be a pro, and Tennessee, I know, had thought at one point that he was just moving on and getting ready for his pro career. So to have Josiah come back with the experience that he has, the level that he can play at, he's a guy that he would have been on a G League roster, I think, most likely. There's a chance he would have signed a two-way contract and spent some time in the NBA next year. To have that level of talent come back, we know how good he is defensively. The roster, I think, could be deeper, especially on the wing, which maybe could help Josiah, because he still comes back from some injuries he's dealt with over his 4 years at Tennessee, and he might need some rest time or some help with minutes over the course of the season. That does lead me into a question I have, though. You have a lot of guys that think, I belong on the floor. Managing minutes, managing different roles is a challenge. Now, it's a good challenge for Rick Barnes to have because of the experience that he has on this roster with guys who have transferred in and guys who are coming back. But managing that is going to be part of the challenge for Rick Barnes. But I think Josiah coming back is another player that can handle the basketball for them in the half court. There is the Zakai question of when is he back at full strength for Tennessee. But the maturity, the experience, the way that Josiah is respected, and just the statement of, you know, it looked like he was going to move on and go through with his pro career, but he decided, hey, I'm willing to come back, take the walk-on spot. There will be NIL opportunities, so don't worry about him financially. But that Josiah cared that much about Tennessee to come back, that to me is a major statement for the program, if you want to talk about the culture and the leadership of the program with Rick Barnes. So it's a major win, in my opinion, to have Josiah back for another year.
Continue to flip gears here. The topic on yesterday's show was, are you familiar with the Swamp Kings, that Netflix thing that they're going to do, kind of highlighting Florida's 06 through 09, Tim Tebow, Urban Meyer, national championship, all that?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Okay, so anyways, it's kind of like a docuseries type situation. If there was to be made a docuseries or some type of limited series or film that chronicles a certain part of Tennessee athletics, you know, what are some big ones that would jump out for you? I threw out, you know, 10 or 15 yesterday, been getting some good ones, get some good feedback here today, but what would be a certain team, player, time period, event that you would want chronicled?
So on the positive side, I would say 95 to 99, or maybe you set it up as something like 93, 94 to 99. And I phrase it that way. That might be better because that's around the arrival or the transition of Heath Shuler to Peyton Manning. And I know it's not one step to the other, but Peyton's arrival in 94 and everything that went into that season, which then led to the incredible success that Tennessee had as a program in the last 5 years of that decade. It's remarkable what Tennessee was able to do. So that would be a positive with all the success. There's the national championship included. There's the Peyton aspect, and then so many other players, plus the stories you can get with somebody like Al Wilson involved as a player and as a leader. So that would stand out. You have the end of the Philip Fulmer era as the head coach leading into Lane Kiffin and then Derek Dooley. Eric, you can go as long or as short as you want to with that time frame because there's a lot that is there. So you have different steps. Those would stand out in football. On the basketball side, the Bruce Pearl era, I would just go that six-year run because it starts out in such amazing fashion. It ends in such an unexpected, disappointing fashion. So you have the very high and very low aspects to that era that is still so memorable for Tennessee basketball. So those would probably be the first three that stand out to me. And those are probably going more wide range. If I were choosing just one season, 98's an easy choice to go with. If I'm choosing another one, I would go with 09. So I would probably start it with Lane Kiffin taking over and end it with Derek Dooley's introduction as the head coach a year later.
I've long been about, you know, having some type of something made about the night Lane left. He took the midnight train. I think, yeah. And I know, you know, there's been some great books written about it and there's been a lot of coverage about it, but you know, in terms of like,
you're also early on in the social media age with, yeah, that. So like part of that story is Renaldo Woolridge is live tweeting about what's going on outside the dorms, I guess. I think it was at the time, and you got tear gas or whatever is happening and the burning of a mattress. And so Yeah, that night itself, you could fill up a ton of material.
Last but not least, quickly, thoughts on the Lady Vols softball team. Their stay in Oklahoma City is over, but did win a game down at the Women's College World Series, first appearance since 2015. And then Tennessee baseball, sweeping the Clemson Regional, not getting to host, but still going to Super Regionals. They'll be in just glorious Hattiesburg this weekend, taking on Southern Miss. Thoughts on Tony Vitello's club as it continues to try to make Omaha.
Yeah, safe travels to you and the media that will be covering the event. But a chance to go to what is known as the Hilton Head of Mississippi. So congrats on that aspect. The softball side, Tennessee athletics is in great shape right now across a number of different sports. That has not been the case for too long. For too long, Tennessee football was going through all those issues. Basketball has been in good shape for a number of years now, but it had some down moments as well. Baseball, obvious. Softball has not. Softball has been the standard of what is expected with all the other sports for so long, and this year's team showed that again. So regular season and tournament championships in the SEC, and then Ashley Rogers, who is an all-time great Lady Vol, her statement after the game, so her time is done, but she's talking about how grateful and proud she is of what she was able to accomplish and the team was able to accomplish. She should be, because they did a lot. And they didn't win the national title, and that's disappointing, but they did a lot of great things. And Karen Weekly, and when she was coaching along with her husband, Ralph Weekly, again, have set the standard for Tennessee athletics. So disappointing finish, but great season for Tennessee softball. The baseball team, Eric, I promise my reaction was Tennessee should just use this. You'd prefer to host. That's obvious. But there was the talk of, can this team win on the road? And they went to Clemson, and they won, and they had an all-time memorable game against Clemson. Now you have a chance to go on the road, chip on your shoulder. No, you shouldn't need extra motivation. But in sports, you get extra motivation, use it. And they can do that this week, and they can still go win 2 out of 3 and get to Omaha. And if that's the case, Tennessee can win the national title. They have that chance. So disappointing to have to go on the road. But they didn't go into the NCAA tournament thinking, we're going to be hosting a super regional. So nothing has really changed in what Tennessee was hoping to do. Their thought was, let's go to Clemson and win. Then we're going to go wherever we have to for the super regional, and we'll win that. And then let's see what we can do in Omaha. So the strength of the pitching staff showed up at Clemson. What Chase Burns was able to do in relief, getting out of the bases loaded jam, is incredible. Like, I don't think they're playing now if he didn't get out of that. So there's a lot for Tennessee fans to be excited. I'm disappointed for fans that would have been able to go to Lindsey Nelson Stadium that they can't, but there's a lot to look forward to, and you're going to provide great coverage of it. So look forward to it this week. And now just try to do what Ole Miss did last year. Ole Miss was the unexpected team that went to Southern Miss, won that super regional, and then won the World Series during this regular season while Tennessee was down. We said, look at Ole Miss last year. Now Tennessee is in the same position Ole Miss was a year ago.
Let's put it this way. I'm going to get into that baseball topic here in segment three, but you and I were texting about a month ago, said, hey, can you host my show this date and this date? It might be super regionals. And I was like, yeah, dude, I got it. No issues. And
yeah, because I'm fully expected to be in Knoxville.
And now you're not playing at all. Yeah. So exactly.
Yeah, or not even having an event to cover. So it's just Tennessee has already outperformed expectations from 6 weeks ago. And that's more external. Internally, there was probably some questioning going on. But that Friday night Vanderbilt win was so huge. Swain and I on our show Tuesday, it was National Yo-Yo Day, so we're talking about games with different emotions, and that Vanderbilt game came up. If they don't win that game, are they in this position? So those little moments where you think it's over, because if they don't win that game, then maybe they win the next two. But are they in this position? I don't know. So Tennessee has continued to battle through, and credit to those players, because they could have packed it in, and who knows, could have struck out or could have grounded out. Instead, he hits a 3-run shot, and then Burns gets out of it, an inning and a half later, and here we are. So you never know, and that's part of the lesson to this point. So you never know, but I know Tennessee has a shot.
Kept him a couple minutes late because we hadn't talked to him in a little while. I know he's wanting to go home after a hard day at work, but Josh, you guys – on the air every single day, noon to 3, you and Jason Swain, VFL Jason Swain. Plus, you guys have the newsletter still every Friday morning to get you set for the weekend.
Yeah, free to sign up, joshandswain.com. We'll have another edition coming up on Friday, so check that out. But, just like in this segment on the radio show, Tennessee isn't everything school. They're they're in play in all these different sports, so we're covering it all.
Yep, and if you want to get a link to subscribe to that Josh and Swain newsletter, it is in the show notes right now. Just go check it out, and it's an easy subscription. We'll come back.
It'll change your life, Eric.
It'll change your life, yeah. We will come back, talk a little bit more about the placement for Tennessee and Super Regionals on the road in Hattiesburg. Someone told me it was the Hilton Head of Mississippi. That and a whole lot more coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. All right, boys and girls, we got a final segment left here of this Wednesday edition of Locked On Vols. Appreciate you being here. And as we close our show today, kind of brought it up a little bit with Josh over there in Ward Wednesday. It was known, it was made public Tuesday morning that Tennessee is not going to be hosting a Super Regional. It went to Southern Miss. At the time of the recording, we just found out yesterday on yesterday's show that Tennessee was going to play Southern Miss. But because Tennessee's a two seed, and because Southern Miss is a two seed, all right, it had to go between, it had to go up in front of the NCAA Baseball Selection Committee to determine who gets what host site. Does Tennessee host? Does Southern Miss host? I've been writing about it all week, and I've put the same, you know, couple of graphs in here. Actually, Grant Ramey wrote these two graphs, and I took it from him. He's my coworker at VolQuest.com. It's okay if you do that. But according to NCAA rules, the selection committee shall review the hosting proposals according to the site selection criteria, quality, availability of the facility, revenue potential, and other available accommodations to determine the host. If one of the teams has submitted a proposal, that team shall host if the proposal is accepted. And in an interview with Knox News a couple days ago, NCAA media representative Jeff Williams said that the bids would be based on merit and take into account factors such as venues and hotels. Okay, so you've got all that. Knoxville is pretty self-explanatory. It's beautiful. It's got plenty of hotel accommodations. Lindsey Nelson Stadium just hosted a Super Regional last year, packed house, all that type of stuff. And then you've got Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Southern Miss is a good baseball program. I am not diminishing Southern Miss's baseball program. We'll dive into more of who Southern Miss is, who are the Golden Eagles and all that a little bit here, but as the week goes on, they're a good baseball program, all right? And they, too, hosted a Super Regional last year. And so it's not like they haven't or they can't, but if all things are equal here, why not go to the, and I'm not trying to be rude, but why not go to the more, the prettier city, the more entertaining city, the more things to do in city? That's Knoxville. I'm going to drive 8 hours to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I'm going to sit in a hotel room. I'm going to go cover these games. I'm going to go get a beer, rinse, repeat, do it the next day. That's literally going to be my life. You know, well, I mean, there's nothing else to do. When I was in Clemson, South Carolina, you know, went out, maybe I'll go see the campus. I went out, walked on campus. I went and saw the football facility. I went and saw the new stadium. Went to Greenville, about 40 minutes away. Went to a festival. I mean, there was tons of stuff to do. And that's me working that weekend. I mean, someone just goes as a fan to experience all the hoopla. You had your hands full. And I'm not sure you're going to get that in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And that's just me. And maybe I'm completely wrong. But the thing that irks me the most about all this is if you are going to go off resume, off the playing resume, the playing field, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. The bid should have been accepted for Tennessee. And I continue to say bid. What I mean by that is before postseason begins, every team that thinks they have an opportunity to host a game at their venue will put in a bid to the NCAA tournament. This is before regionals. This is before super regionals. So Tennessee and Southern Miss, who are both in contention to host a regional, put in their bids in the NCAA. They keep those. Now that Auburn was, you know, out and Southern Miss won the Auburn regional, then Clemson was out, Tennessee won the Clemson regional, and one of these two teams had to host, they went back up, looked at those bids, and they decided to go with Southern Miss. So when you look at that, and if you're not going to the selection committee that's comprised of, I believe, about 8 people, if you are not going to base your, if everything's equal, like in terms of hotels being available, venue, you know, being able to hold capacity, you know, all that type of stuff, if both venues, which they should be because they host games there every single year for baseball, is capable of hosting a regional and a super regional, then if you make your decision off resume, which team deserves to host more than the other, based on being a good baseball team, okay? Well, Tennessee has a better RPI, and 15 of the 16 regional host sites had, you know, were in the top 20 RPIs in the country heading into regional weekend. So much was valued on RPI this year in college baseball and every year. So much is valued on RPI. So much weight is put on RPI. Tennessee has the better RPI over Southern Miss. Southern Miss got a good RPI. Tennessee's has a better. If you look at the strength of schedule, Tennessee plays in the Southeastern Conference. Southern Miss plays in the Sun Belt. No disrespect to the Sun Belt. We're going to have a Locked On crossover at some point this week. There's good baseball there, but it's not SEC baseball day in and day out. Tennessee's strength of schedule was miles and miles and miles. I mean like 40 spots higher than that of Southern Miss's. So RPI, better, check. Strength of schedule, better, check. Okay? Southern Miss won its conference, won its tournament championship, and that's awesome. And that's not to diminish anything. That's how they punched their ticket. They would have gotten that large bid anyway, but that's how they punched their ticket, and that's great. But again, it's not an SEC championship. Okay, so I'm not going to weigh that too heavily, in my opinion. What did Southern Miss look like against SEC teams? I don't have the specific stat in front of me. I wrote it down earlier and I can't find it. I'll have it in a column at some point this week. But regardless, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty at all. Okay? And oh yeah, let's just use some common sense here. Which regional was tougher? I know. It was the Clemson regional. Why? Because Clemson was the number 4 overall seed. Tennessee won the Clemson regional. Okay? Southern Miss won the Auburn regional, and the Auburn Tigers were Auburn was the 13th overall seed. Okay, so, you know, if you just want to go off that, it's pretty black and white. It's pretty simple, right? Tennessee won the tougher regional, or at least, you know, beat the tougher host, if you will. Tennessee also did not lose a game in regional play. Southern Miss had to climb out of the loser's bracket, and credit Southern Miss. That's a good ball club. Again, I'm not saying that it's going to be an easy weekend. I'm just trying to say, you know, what else are you looking for in terms of the committee? So if it's on the resume of the field, knowing that there's hotels, knowing that the venue can hold the capacity, knowing all this stuff, okay? If both facilities are adequate, they are. If you're going off resume, it should be Tennessee, but it seems like obviously that's not just off resume. Then what the hell is it? That's my question. What is it? I want to know. I know you guys have seen this on social media, the fall of Tennessee baseball and all that type of stuff, so I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Fact of the matter is, guys, and again, I'm never this guy just to sit here and say this and this and this, conspiracy theory and all that, but fact of the matter is, there is a member of the NCAA Baseball Selection Committee. There is a member of that committee, okay, and his son plays for Southern Miss. True story, fact, it's literally out there. His son plays for Southern Miss. There is a former Southern Miss athletic director on that committee. So from the outside looking in, kind of makes you think like they're just trying to take care of their own. How much thought was actually given into this? Was this already predetermined? I don't know. Is Tennessee being punished for being the villains in 2022? Maybe. All these things can be true. It just doesn't quite make sense to me. You have an airport that has 2 flights a day going into that airport. It is not an easy city to get to. So again, how in the hell does this make sense? It doesn't make sense. And if you can tell I'm a little fired up, it's because I have to deal with this. This is my job. I've got to pay for another hotel, another night in a hotel. I've got to get in a car and drive 8 hours away. It's going to be 95 degrees. It's going to be raining. Oh, yeah, that's another thing, right? If you're going to look at all things, the weather forecast, and weather can change, I get it, but the weather forecast this week in Hattiesburg is atrocious. 95 and storming every day. Tennessee, sunny skies, and 82. I just don't quite understand it. I don't. But that is the decision. That is what was made, and now Tennessee will go on the road and we'll play Super Regional, all right? There's a lot of comparisons between Tennessee and Ole Miss of last year, and I'll end on this. Southern Miss hosted Ole Miss last year in Super Regional play. They went 0-2. They lost. They were outscored like 18-0. That was last year's team. But they hosted Ole Miss in Super Regional. Ole Miss, of course, went on the road in Regional. I think they won the Stillwater Regional. They went on the road and won at Southern Miss. They went to Omaha and won the whole damn thing, okay? Ole Miss was really bad to begin SEC play. We know the comparisons. When Tennessee was 5-10 in SEC play and on the outside looking in and needing a huge turnaround, the comparisons were there to that of Ole Miss. Ole Miss was about to fire its coach, literally was about to fire its coach. Then it turned things around, finished out strong in the Southeastern Conference, went on a run, looked good in regional, looked really, really good in super regionals, went on a run, made it to Omaha, and you just get to Omaha, anything can happen. And Ole Miss was your national champion last year. Boy, boy. I love comparing the Tennessee baseball team to this last year's Tennessee basketball team because I think there's so many similarities. But there's a whole lot of similarities to the Tennessee baseball team and the Ole Miss baseball team from 2022. So the best team in the country doesn't win the national championship in baseball. Hardly ever. In fact, again, we said it yesterday. It's been 22 years since the number one overall seed has won the national championship. It has been the last team standing in Omaha. Ole Miss won it last year when Tennessee was, without a doubt, 100% the best team in the country. Didn't even make it to Omaha. The comparisons are there, so we'll have to see exactly what happens. Tennessee will hit the road. We'll go to Hattiesburg, and we'll take on Southern Miss, a really good baseball team. I'll get you more into exactly who a Southern Miss is as the week goes on. I actually have the notes up here, but I'm running out of time. But that announcement was made public on Tuesday morning, so keep the bags packed. Tennessee hitting the road again for super regional play, and in case you're wondering, Tennessee's been on the road twice in super regional play, and they've won both times. So historically, the road has been kind to Tennessee in super regional play. Guys, appreciate you as always for tuning in here to Locked On Vols, making this your first listen each and every single day. Shout out every dayers. Can't thank you enough. We'll talk more Tennessee football, Tennessee recruiting, Tennessee baseball, all that and more as the week goes on. Appreciate it, guys. As always, this is Locked On Vols.